Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. We are here gathering, and the Bible tells us where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. We have two in the house at this time, and you with us gathering. So the Lord is definitely here, and He's been speaking to me already this morning about different things as we worship. So I want to read and talk about Philippians 3. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, I'm using a Bible app I have on my phone. So I'm not sure I would have the same version as you, but you can still follow along in your favorite version and see how it says it differently. I may look it up in a different version or read it in multiple versions, because it's good to read in multiple versions and see how each person understands each translator. And you can get a more full picture of what God is saying or what the apostles are saying by reading in multiple versions. So this is just the plain, simple Bible. And this is Paul, who used to be Saul, writing. And first he starts out with a warning concerning false teaching. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you again is no trouble for me, and for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilators." So here are some warnings against three different types of people. So who are the dogs? Paul says the Jews who rejected Christ and tried to harm Christians were really unclean animals, like dogs. The Jews regard dogs as unclean animals and called Gentiles dogs. So here he's talking about those who reject Christ as the Messiah. They're like dogs. So you want to beware of people who reject Christ. And then the other one is evil workers, trying to pervert Christ's gospel and to turn Christians from the truth is the greatest of evils, because it has to do with eternity. We teach here that Yeshua is the one and only way to the Father to be saved. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Him. So Yeshua is the only way to be born again. And Peter taught on the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, that we are to repent and be baptized. We do that, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth and teach us and empower us to be Yeshua's witnesses. So that's what we teach here. Repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way to be born again. We can't earn it through good works. Although we do good works, the reason why we do good works is because we love the Lord and we want to bring honor and glory to His name and advance His kingdom in the earth and destroy the works of the enemy. So we do those good works to bring honor and glory to our Father in heaven, not to get saved. And anything we do, whether it's keep the feasts or watch what we eat or pray for people or preach the gospel and teach and pray, and even mundane things, all things are done to honor the Lord, not to earn our salvation. And so he talks also about beware of the mutilators. He's referring to circumcision. Some Jews were trying to compel Gentile Christians to submit to this ceremony. He uses sarcasm here because the unbelieving Jews who opposed the gospel of Christ did not live up to the meaning of circumcision. And so with them, the rite of circumcision became an empty and meaningless cutting of the flesh. We may get circumcised, but now we are in the new covenant. So this was a way to enter into the old covenant, was through circumcision. It was required that all Jews be circumcised, or they couldn't be a Jew. They couldn't be in that position of right relationship with God, because that was a sign of the covenant. So if you didn't get circumcised, you weren't in the covenant. But after Jesus died on the cross, we now have a blood covenant in him. He shed his precious blood to place us into covenant relationship with him. So now we are in a blood covenant through Yeshua. Not that we don't do circumcision if we want to. It's the purpose, the reason why we do it or don't do it. And circumcision, I understand, is a health benefit to males. You know, cutting that foreskin off helps reduce the growth of bacteria in that area. So it's a healthy thing for males. So if you want to have your sons circumcised for health benefits, absolutely go ahead and do it. It's okay. But we don't have to get circumcised to be in the covenant. We can become a member of the covenant and engage in the covenant, the blood covenant, through our relationship with Yeshua by repentance and getting baptized. We repent and are baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That means that we are applying the blood of Yeshua to our lives, what he did on the cross for us. We take upon ourselves and we are born again into the kingdom. And now we are in a blood covenant with Yeshua. So we don't have to circumcise to be in the covenant. And then he goes to talk about how we don't have any confidence in the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So this is talking about we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we circumcise our hearts, means we cut away the flesh, which is carnal behavior, carnality. There's so many people in the church today who are carnal. They trust in their job and earning that paycheck to pay their bills instead of trusting in the Lord. So when they lose a job, they get all upset instead of looking at it that, well, that job was a blessing from God, but now maybe God has a different way to bless you, a different job. So we need to trust the process of sometimes we have to lose a job to get a different job to be put where God wants us. And wherever we are, it doesn't matter because we do all things as unto the Lord. God is our provision and he will choose to provide for us in the way he chooses. We're trusting in him. We don't have to get afraid or upset when a way of provision disappears, because when that disappears, another door will open and another way of provision will present itself because God has taken care of us. So we have to trust in the Lord and worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. That's what we got to do. Every day, seek the Lord, his ways, his plan. What path does he want you to walk that day? And as you seek to obey the Lord every day in everything, then you will have every blessing added to you. Everything you need, you'll be taken care of. Just trust in the Lord. Don't put your confidence in man or the flesh. And even many today, and I myself have fallen into this trap, trust in forms of entertainment to make us feel better when we were like maybe having a difficult day. And instead of going to the Lord and spending time with him and letting him encourage us, love on us, wash the cares away, we turn to entertainment. We turn on the TV or we play computer games. And so therefore, we're trusting in those forms of worldly entertainments for our mental health, where we should be trusting in the Lord. So let's encourage ourselves to work on that area, to seek the Lord for everything, our mental health, our spiritual health, our physical health, every area of our lives, our provision in every area. He will provide for us, and we need to remember that every day, remind ourselves, God is our provision. He will provide what we need today. And Paul goes on and says, though I too might have confidence in the flesh, If anyone else thinks he has reasons for trusting in the flesh, I have more. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee. And Pharisees were the ones who knew the law inside and out. Concerning zeal, he persecuted the church to protect the law. As for the righteousness that is in the law, he was blameless. He kept the law to the T. He did not miss out on anything. He was a good Jew, a righteous Jew, a zealous, law-abiding Jew. And he felt like persecuting the church was his duty until the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and set him on the right path, set him straight, amen? But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. So he said he was willing to give up all of that because Yeshua was worth way more. And having a relationship with Yeshua is worth all of that. So he gave up being a Pharisee. He gave up being a zealot and law-abiding Jew. Not that I believe he necessarily broke the law, but it was not his salvation. It was not his covenant any longer. We now have that blood covenant. And so he tells us, I mean, he was the best in that regard, and he counted all loss. So we have to think about Jesus is first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added. Seek the face of the Lord. Seek him while he can be found. Seek him now, diligently, and let him lead you and guide you in the path that you're to walk. He joyfully renounced all things for Christ. He says, yes, indeed, and I count all things as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from among the dead. So here he's talking about he joyfully counted as loss all that he had before. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was well-trained in the law. It was said that he was going to be the next rabbi, the high priest. And he gave that up because being high priest was not as worthwhile as following Yeshua. It was worth way more to follow Yeshua and have that relationship and pursue that path that would lead to the resurrection, that he would be resurrected when his time came and he would be part of the new kingdom that Yeshua is going to set up one day. That was the thing that he wanted. He wanted to have that permanent, eternal relationship with Yeshua. And that's what we should all be seeking, that permanent relationship, eternal relationship. And one of the things we got to do that is get rid of all the carnal behaviors and attitudes. We need to do things God's way. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he will bless us and we will be a blessing. Amen. Not that I have already attained or have already been made perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not consider myself as having laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And this right here is what led me to this chapter. We want to forget what's in the past. Those things that we did, maybe that weren't pleasing to God. We've repented. We've been forgiven. Forget it. That's in the past. Can't change it. Past relationships that are over. Move on. God has new relationships for you. God has new things for you. We want to stretch forward to the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. He has you on a path towards the goal. And that's what we want to focus on, the goal. And that's the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And there's certain people that you need to be in relationship to fulfill your destiny, to fulfill your call. Allow him to lead you on that path to those relationships. If a relationship is not leading you towards the goal, then that's not a relationship you should be in. But if God has led you to a relationship, then that person is there to help you fulfill your call, your destiny. And sometimes you may have to move to a different location to fulfill your destiny. God has a wonderful plan for your life. So let's forget about the past, all the mistakes, past relationships that are over. Let's forget about that. Let's focus on the goal, the destiny, and pray and ask God to show you your destiny and who you should be in relationship with. And when he shows you someone, stick with that until, you know, you see the fulfillment of the promise. It's just so amazing how I look back at my life and where I am today and the way God has led me, the things he has removed from my life, the people he has removed from my life, the paths that he has set me on. Sometimes I've made bad choices and I've gotten on the wrong path. But as soon as I repented and asked God to help me get back on the right path, I get back on the right path. He sets me back on the right track to my destiny and gets me pointed in the right direction again. It's okay if you get off the path for a season. We all do that. I mean, there's consequences to that. And maybe those consequences are, we don't want them. But as soon as you realize you're on the wrong path, repent and ask God to get you back on the right path. And then you can move forward. You know, God is a merciful God, and he is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. He will give you another chance. He is awesome. He's long-suffering. He's kind. And he wants the best for you. And whenever you make a choice to allow him to put you on the path that he wants you on, he will get you on that path. He will get you out of the ditch if you've got yourself in the ditch. It's just that simple. Repent. You know, especially if you've already repented and been baptized, you belong to him. You've been sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're in the kingdom. And if you step out of the kingdom and realize it, he'll draw you back in. And I think if we're getting ready to actually get out of the kingdom, he will warn us before that. We have to choose. I'm thinking of a time when I made that bad choice and I was about ready to step out of the kingdom for good, and I didn't even realize it. God came in and delivered me from a relationship I was in that was bad for me and that was destroying me. And he got me back on path, on his path. And he got me out of the ditch. And he didn't allow me to lose my salvation or get out of the kingdom. So if you're headed towards the exit door, he's going to put things in your path, even if it's himself, and get you turned back towards the center of the kingdom. If you just choose to, it's a choice. But if you're today thinking about giving it all up, that this life with Jesus hasn't been all you thought it was going to be, and you're ready to quit and go back to the world and stuff, I encourage you, look up to the Lord, call out, ask him to show you the way back to him, the way back to what you're supposed to have, blessing. You're supposed to be blessed. And sometimes the choices we make will lead us down paths that give us consequences. But God, he loves you so much, and he doesn't want you to suffer those consequences. Yeshua paid the price for you. So as soon as you realize, this isn't the life for me, I don't want to do this anymore, and you cry out to God for help, He will get you out of that ditch. He will get you back on the right path, the path to blessing, path to peace and joy. And He'll get you back in right relationship with Him. Just choose to repent. And don't take that final step out the door. Don't do it. And if you're today, I'm hearing that someone will be listening to this and they're contemplating suicide. That's their exit. And I want to tell you, suicide is not the exit you think it will be. It will send you straight to hell. And there'll be torment. And what you're trying to escape, you'll suffer for all of eternity. Suicide is not the exit you think it will be. It's a lie from the pit of hell. The devil wants to destroy you. So right now, I come against that spirit of death and suicide in the name of Yeshua. And I command it to go in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, I ask that you open this person's eyes and that they will see how much you love them and how much you have for them. And they have a destiny and a purpose, and that you want to help them fulfill it and help them to repent and cry out to you for help and answer their call right now, wherever they're at, in that hotel room or in their living room or their bedroom, wherever they're at. I just ask, Lord, for you to deliver them right now in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. So whatever you've done in the past that got you to this point, forget those things which are behind. Turn and face the Lord. Get on His path and reach towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have a call of God. God is calling you right now. Come to Him in the name of Yeshua. And therefore, let us, as many as are fully mature, have the same mind. If you think differently in anything, God will reveal all this also to you. In any case, in the measure we have already attained, let us conduct ourselves by the same rule. Let us have the same mind. Brethren, you have us as an example. So join others in following me and take note of those who walk so. What is he actually saying here? What same mind is we talking about? Believers should live up to the light they have. If they do, God will surely give them more understanding of the truth. If you are mature in one area, there may be an area you're not so mature in. But as you are faithful to live out the truth that you understand and know, then the Lord will add more to that, more pieces to the puzzle. And as long as we are alive, we're going to be gathering more pieces to the puzzle and get a fuller and fuller picture if we choose to. So whatever truth you have, hold on to that truth and live out that truth. Be faithful in that truth. And then God will give you more truth. And He's been doing that to me and to my son this past few years. We've been going deep into some stuff, and we've been faithful in what we know, and then He's been adding more knowledge, more understanding, and we're going deeper and deeper. So I've been living out the truth of this verse the past few years and continue to do so. We just will go deeper and deeper and deeper. As long as we're alive, we can go deeper. So there's two kinds of persons and two different ends. For many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now tell you, even weeping, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, and their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may become like this glorious body, His glorious body, according to the power that enables Him to subdue all things under himself. So when Yeshua rose from the dead, he was glorified and he got a body. And you know that body could walk through walls? He walked through walls. Is that cool or what? Someday, we're going to get a new body. If we do not quit, if we overcome, read in Revelations the letters to the churches that John wrote, and they all say, if you overcome, you will get. And then it says the blessing that they will get. The point is to overcome. Stay strong. Be true to what you know and go deeper in the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Just study, 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 pray, learn, and then be faithful with what you know and walk it out with the Lord's help. Don't let your God be your belly, and don't let your glory be turned to shame. Our bodies are meant to be temples of the Holy Spirit, where we are showing forth to the world the light of Christ and who he is. So if we're doing stuff that is ungodly and we're being gluttons and sexually promiscuous and engaging in fornication and, God forbid, adultery, what kind of example to the world is that? That doesn't show the life of Christ, the blood covenant that we're in, that set us free from the power of sin. The Ten Commandments are still valid today. All of them, all 10 are still valid. We should be keeping the Ten Commandments at the very least, and at a level that Yeshua taught. Not just abstaining from the act of adultery, but don't even look at a woman to lust after her. Because then Yeshua says, if you're a man and you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. You're guilty of breaking that law. And don't take the Lord's name in vain. This is talking about living out that truth you have. It's not necessarily talking about using bad language that includes the name of God, although we shouldn't do that either. Don't get me wrong. We should watch what we say. The power of life and death are in the tongue, and we don't want to curse people. We want to bless people. But this, the deeper meaning of don't take the Lord's name in vain, is about walking out your maturity, your knowledge, the truth that you have learned, and being faithful in that. Just like a wife is faithful to her husband and a husband is faithful to his wife, they don't go after others. They stay true to their vows. They stay true to who they committed to be. That's how we stay. We take the Lord's name, and there's all these blessings that are associated with those who obey the Lord and honor his name. Just like a married couple. A woman takes a man's name, but if she lives like a single person, then she has taken that name in vain. So you have been united with Christ through repentance and water baptism and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, whom you are sealed by, then you need to live like you've been born again. You need to give up the things of the world. You can't be friends with the world any longer, because to be a friend with the world is to be an enemy of God. If you're going to be the bride of Christ, if you're going to be one of his, then you have to do things that please him and not live to please man or the world. You got to get rid of all that carnal behavior, that sin, all that carnality. And that might just mean that you'll have to give up some things you like to do, like some TV programs that you like to watch. You might have to stop watching them because Yeshua doesn't like them. Be willing to give up those TV shows. Just like if you were with your spouse and they didn't like something you were doing, you would, for the sake of the relationship, you would stop doing it. So seek what the Lord likes and love what the Lord loves and hate what the Lord hates. That is how you grow in your maturity. And as you are faithful to what you know, he will add more. So that brings us towards the end of this chapter. And he will subdue all things under himself and make his enemies his footstool. And we do not want to be stepped on by God. Amen. We don't want to be his stepstool. We want to be right there seated with Christ in heavenly places and someday ruling and reigning with him on the earth. That is our desire. And to do that, we need to press forward. Forget the things behind and press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this teaching and it helped you. And I hope to see you next time here at Lots of Love Ministries. Shalom.